Our scripture this morning is the story of 10 lepers who asked Jesus to have mercy on them. And while they were on their way to show themselves to the priest, as Jesus told them, they were healed. As soon as one of them saw that he was healed, he turned around and, praising God with a loud voice, he went back to Jesus. He fell on his knees in front of him and thanked him. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." I like to think that this 10th leper represents the church. Whether they admit it or not, everyone on earth continuously and constantly experiences the benefit of God's decision to love this creation. The wonder of creation, the amazement of our very existence, the extraordinary experience of family, love, and companionship, the miracle of healing, the marvel of thoughts, ideas, dreams, and visions, the human capacity for perseverance, risk, and sacrifice, the drive for peace, justice, and integrity, in spite of sometimes continuous opposition. These are things that the whole of everyone in creation experiences. But it is the church that turns back in gratitude and faith to the one who embodies that grace and generosity, Jesus, and says, "Thank you." And to the church, Jesus says, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." My last Sunday with you and the commissioning of your advanced step team is a good time for us to think about the rhythm of church life as turning and going, turning and going. Church life is not always what we would hope or expect it to be. It can sometimes be difficult and challenging, and no one needs to tell you or anyone else that. But what every church needs to do, regardless of its circumstances, is to remember to turn and go back to Jesus, and to fall on its knees and to say, "Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for everything for which everyone else on the earth should thank you but doesn't. But we do. Thank you for showing us how much God loves us." From our scriptures over the last few weeks, thank you for demonstrating how God's love can make us humble, how God's love can generate a desire and willingness to turn hostility towards others into hospitality. Thank you for showing us how God's love can create in us a compassion for the strugglers, the losers, and the misfits. Thank you for shocking us with the idea that God loves all people, no matter who they are or what they have done, even conniving crooks. Thank you, Jesus, for making us tender-hearted towards the poor and the suffering at our gate. Thank you, Jesus, for this church, which for some of us is the community of faith where we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, where we really, for the first time, got serious about what it was to be a disciple and follower of Jesus, where we made some of the best friends of our lives, where we got married, where our children were dedicated, where in a crisis we were unconditionally supported and cared for with a love and prayers that were beyond our belief. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross, for taking upon yourselves all of our follies, and for demonstrating in the depths of your suffering the heights and transforming nature of God's love for us in spite of who we are. The church turns back to Jesus, and nobody else does, and says, "Thank you." Turning back to Jesus to say thank you is also a good time to say something else while we're there on our knees It's a good time also to say, forgive us. A friend of mine in ministry was telling me about a serious situation of moral failure on the part of one of the deacons in his church. I said, why is it that too often in the church we find ourselves working in a mess? He said, well, I think it's because as we work our way through the messes that God builds us as a stronger and more authentic people of God. Well, he was right, because that's true. But it still doesn't excuse the things we have done for which we need to say to Jesus, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the trivialization and pettiness that obscure and denigrate the unfathomable riches of the love of God for us and all creation. Jesus, forgive us for that. Forgive us for church struggles that may have become personal, bitter, and hurtful. Jesus, forgive us for that. Forgive us for anger and frustration and recriminations, failed initiatives and competing interests that have too often in too many churches been destructive of relationships, ministry, and mission. Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us for our failure to keep the main thing the main thing. And forgive us when we have failed to forgive others the way that you have forgiven us. And while we're there, maybe there is one more thing we could take the opportunity to say. Help us to hear you, Jesus. In response, Jesus might repeat some of the words we have heard from him in our readings from the Gospel of Luke over the last few weeks. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So, as the church, we stay there at Jesus' feet as long as we need to thank him, to confess to him, and to listen to him. And then, when we have been there long enough, we hear him say, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. So, what is the way ahead for First Baptist Church Edmonton? I don't know. I don't know how anyone could know. But there are some things I do know. I know that the way ahead for you will not become clear through the use of either multivitamins or aspirin. So you can mark this down, okay? Multivitamins are good for a quick burst of energy, and churches often look for some spiritual or programmatic form of multivitamins that will provide a burst of energy and a quick fix. But beware of quick fixes and easy answers. They don't last. Aspirin, too, are good for covering up pain, and churches often would rather hide their pain than deal with it. So beware of denial and suppression. I hope that the way ahead will look a lot like what you are doing today, commissioning one another for mission. I look forward to hearing what comes from your partnership with Bolivian churches. My hunch is that it will be a re-energizing and an empowerment for both you and for the Bolivian church. I am sure it will be that. But don't expect this to be easy. It's not. If it were, every church would be doing it. There are challenges involved with this. There always is. But it's worthwhile doing, so stick with it. And I look forward also to the day when you will be gathering here, commissioning one another for a local outreach project. I hope that the way ahead looks a lot like that. The way ahead also will be about God bringing wholeness out of brokenness. A few years ago, I heard Ken Bailey speak at a conference I was attending. Ken Bailey had taught for many, many years at the Middle East Theological Seminary in Beirut, Lebanon. At the time I was at this conference, the war between Lebanon and Israel was on, and so he was sharing with us out of his experience about the issues there and what was happening. At the end of his sharing with us, somebody said, Ken, have you got any prospect of how they're going to resolve these problems in the Middle East? And Ken Bailey just shook his head and said, all I know is that after the crucifixion comes resurrection. Now, you haven't been through a crucifixion, far from it. But Bailey makes a good point. It's out of brokenness that God brings wholeness. A friend of mine whose father was a doctor once told me that his father felt sorry for people who were never sick. And the reason was, he said, they never had the opportunity to experience healing, which is an important experience in life, he maintained. That goes for churches as well. No church wants, expects, or seeks out challenges just to experience healing. Nobody would do that. But challenges come to every church, in spite of our best efforts and expectations. And when they do, we can approach them in despair and recrimination, or as an opportunity to experience God's healing. We can see them as occasions for grace to abound. It's not easy, but with God's help, we can do it, because it is God's work to bring wholeness out of brokenness. The way ahead may take any one of a variety of forms for you. There are numerous books, resources, and models on how churches can have and develop new visions for their life and ministry. There's a whole industry around producing books and resources and seminars and everything on models for church renewal and models for church getting on with ministry and mission in this post-Christian, post-Christendom era in which we live. Some of the phrases that are used to describe these various models of churches are boomer churches, buster churches, contemporary churches, full-service churches, high-expectation churches, innovative churches, mega churches, meta churches, mission-driven churches, missional churches, neighborhood churches, new tribe churches, purpose-driven churches, seeker-friendly churches, seven-day-a-week churches, turnaround churches, user-friendly churches, vibrant churches, vital churches. There's no end to the phrases to describe models of church life. But it's not the model of church life that is the most important factor in this church's way ahead or any church's way ahead. When I came here in July, our sermon texts were from chapters 12 and 13 in 1 Corinthians. And in those two chapters, Paul describes God's kind of church. And I think the kind of church that Paul describes as God's kind of church is our kind of church too. Gifted, diverse, and full of love. And how do we get to be that kind of church, no matter what model we may be using to express that? How do we express what it is to be the body of Christ that is gifted, diverse, and full of love? Well, I think one of the ways is through our text this morning. It takes a rhythm of turning and going, of turning and going. Not spending all of our time at the feet of Jesus and not doing any going, And not just being busy all the time and going without turning back to Jesus. It's a rhythm of turning and going. It's a rhythm of regularly, either individually or corporately, turning, going back, and kneeling at the feet of Jesus in gratitude, confession, and attentiveness. And then hearing the voice of Jesus say, "Get up. Go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And all God's people said, "Amen." And all God's people said, "Amen. Amen and amen." Let us pray. Our loving God,